This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Fiona.
I think you've got a story for us today.
I do. I had in learning things, I had a wonderful opportunity to sit for 2 days with a lama, Tulku Yishi Rinpoche, and he, a wonderful storyteller as well, to explain things. And he did this wonderful talk about defining ourselves, you know? Why do, and Gurdjieff, that was yesterday's post that I put on Facebook, is his advice to, Gurdjieff's advice to his daughter, Elef, was stop defining yourself. So that's an important one. Yeah. Why do we define ourselves?
Why do we define ourselves is the question.
Okay, so I want to preface this, our conversation on this, is the Tulku Yishi Rinpoche's talk on defining ourselves. And he says, okay, so this person here is George. So who is George? And he lifts the arm. He said, is this George? No, it's George's arm. So what about the leg? Is this George? No, it's George's leg. What about the heart? Is that George? No, that's George's heart. The brain, the mind. And he says, so who is George? Because we are in this earth suit, this space suit, you call it mind, call it earth suit. Where is George? Because these are all bits of George, but it isn't who George is. So when we define ourselves, what are we attempting to do here?
And it so often constricts ourselves when we define ourselves. So we could say, and the definition, of course, has to change as we age, because if we're defining ourselves not only with what we look like, but also with what we do. So for example, if we define ourselves as the handsome or the cute person, you know, young person, or the strong athlete or something, that has to change at some stage. And also if we define ourselves as a profession or as an occupation, then
that's doing,
and that has to drop away at some stage too. And we've talked about this before, about sometimes when people go to retire, they die quickly because they can't live a life where they're not defining themselves. Because when the definition drops away, who on earth are they?
You see that in sports all the time.
Bob had my husband Bob had a script that he helped to write about this young basketball player. He came up I don't know what you call it, but from college, just incredibly brilliant with basketball. Just everything was golden for him. He got onto this major, I can't remember which team because I'm not a sports fan, but he got onto this team, and then something happened. I think he injured himself at some stage, and he was off. And he had identified his whole life with being a basketball star, even when he was little. And when he got off, he just fell into drugs and alcohol and died.
Yeah.
You know, because he couldn't work out who he was as opposed to what he did, because everything about him, including his body, was basketball. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad story. And at the same time, we've both seen that happen with people, again, either identifying with being a particular look when they're young, and then as they age, that disappears.
Well, that happens in the film industry a lot.
A huge amount. I mean, if you look, one of the poster children for that was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Who, when he was young, when he had a normal face, was absolutely very handsome. And then slowly he changed it until he became
Elizabeth Taylor.
A cartoon of Elizabeth Taylor, because it didn't even look, wasn't him anymore. So it's like, if we define ourselves really strongly, you know, then we get very lost in that definition and we lose who we are, because we can't, with that definition we think is who we are, and it's very fragile. Any self-definition has to be fragile.
So we had done a talk once before, a couple of years ago, about how do we stop defining ourselves. And one of the things, when I think you mentioned that or asked that question, and I had, if I look back on my life, if I was defining myself, I was defining myself as a traveler. somebody who traveled all the time, all over the world, learning things. I love traveling. And then, of course, the cancer and the lymphedema stopped me from traveling. So here's your, well, what do I define myself as now? But what a great opportunity that was to stop defining myself as, because I'm not a traveler now, what am I? And when you asked this of me, do you remember I said, I am the roots of a tree that go deep into the ground, connect with all other trees that form, that I grow a strong trunk that reaches up to the sky, and I have my branches. So it was, yeah, you know, if I need to say anything, if somebody wants me to define myself, I'm going to say I'm the roots of a tree, because it takes it out of the ego. I think, she says, notice, I think.
And I think we want to do a show on ego at some stage. Mm-hmm. We might want to write down to yourself, how do I define myself? And then look at each one of your definitions.
And do it when you look at each one of the definitions. Don't judge it.
No, absolutely.
Never judge it.
Because that's a pit. And again, we've just done a show on negativity. It's very easy to fall into that pit of negativity, especially if you're no longer living up to your definition.
Right.
And again, it's fine when you're in the center of the definition. It's like the young guys who go onto Wall Street. They're almost all young because they can't cope with that kind of speed and that kind of life. They're often heavy drinkers, fast livers, and you know, I think that when they drop out of that kind of stuff, who are they? You know, it happens to a lot of people. It happens. Yeah. So we're not what we do. We're not what we look like. We're not what we have achieved. And you know, it's an interesting phenomena, because then who are we?
Yeah.
We have to connect with that vastness within.
I think the connecting with that is not when... It's what we've done for others, not what we've done for ourselves. That dies when we die. I think I'm not even thinking that this is about defining ourselves, but if we want the gift of who we are to live, it's what we've done for others.
And at the same time...
It's Mother Teresa lives still because of what she's done for others. And those she's helped are helping others who are helping others.
It circles through. And at the same time, we have to be careful not to identify with the person who helps others. Because then that's also a definition.
Yes, exactly.
So the thing then is to feel how...
That's another Gurdjieff to Aleph is, do not help your neighbor so they become dependent upon you.
Or because, you know, and all of this has to be taken without a rigidity, without... If you help somebody next door and you feel good, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just don't define yourself. Don't spend all your day helping because you feel that's who you are. But it's okay to feel okay when you give a gift to somebody or go and take a meal to somebody. Don't be rigid with ourselves in a way. So I think we have to ask ourselves again, who are we? We've got a show on that, actually. But defining ourselves keeps us away from who we are. And so I would suggest in this show...
Not only who we are, but who we can become. I mean, everything that's coming towards us, all the gifts that are coming towards us, if we define ourselves, it's not accepting all of...
Yeah, because it's like you've closed off to certain sections. And it's very important not to define yourself with what's gone in the past, because that keeps relationships locked. It's like, so you define yourself as the person who lives with somebody who's a grouch.
This is an important thing that you just said, because if you... towards the end of my life, I am, and doing this work, continually doing this work of mindfulness and compassion, and I see things that come up that I might have said something or done something that I look and I thought, oh, how could I have done that? I don't believe I did, you know. So then I feel, okay, so then the shame comes in that I did that. And it's not about the shame. It's not, this is how I'm taking it is, and this totally ties in with how I define ourselves, because I always defined myself as a traveler, as a kind person, as a loving person. And here, you know, all these things are popping up thinking, well, did I really say something like that? Did I really do that? And so I have to say, wow, I did that at this time. Now, the teaching for me in that was there are others doing it. And so there's the forgiveness that comes in, okay? That we all do this. We all, there's a kindness and a forgiveness in this, is that we're not to punish ourselves for doing something.
Yeah, and to realize that that's all part of there isn't in a sense a path, but that's our walk on the planet is part of that. Yes. It's like making what we might call mistakes. It's like sometimes being lovely and yet sometimes being grouchy. It's because all of that's a part of this whole process, but just not to define ourselves with it. So you define yourself, maybe someone went through a period of being grouchy. Don't define yourself and let that catch you and trap you. And define yourself as, we've both had so many careers. I mean, not so many, but several successful careers. So it's like I never defined myself as a teacher, although it was a really helpful thing. I always kind of enjoy being a singer, but I don't exactly define myself as a singer because I'm not singing much now. So it's like, it's almost like with the lives that we've led, we've done this thing and then it's kind of slipped into the past, and we keep a little piece of it in a way just because it's who we are.
I think for me it's like I will say, you've been saying to me for ages, write a book about, you know, all this stuff,
amazing experiences,
the amazing adventures of Jill Townsend. The reason I find that so hard to do is because I'm always looking forward. I don't look back. Now that I've come to almost 74 years, things are popping up that are causing me to look back. And so how I'm trying to take that is to look at that and what have I learned since then? What have I, you know, how have I become better since then?
Without judgment.
Without judgment. And also... being aware that other people who are going through that thing that I did deserve as much compassion as I'm giving myself for having gone through it, you know? And I think compassion is the key to it, rather than judgment. It's just compassion. That's why we're here.
And then we're asking, you know, again, I often refer to Byron Katie's The Work, but we just ask ourselves, just, you know, is that true? Sometimes when you ask yourself, I should have been like this, and you say, well, is that really true? And you might say yes, and you say, okay, but let me bring consciousness to it. Let me just realize without judgment that where did it bring me? What gift did it bring me? And what gift might it have brought other people? So it's not to excuse, it's just to bring consciousness to.
Yeah.
So if we say to ourselves today or this week, let this be a week of becoming aware of how I define myself. And let this be a week of becoming aware of where I get stuck in that definition of myself. And don't worry too much, I don't think, of who you are.
No,
because
that's
it will
the key
emerge.
That's the key to this practice that you're encouraging us to do this week, is to not change the definition. Oh, I'm not, like for me, I'm not a traveler now because I can't travel, so who am I? George. Mm-hmm. Who's George? You know, it's that, go back to that story of who is George.
So who you are emerges just by not defining
yes.
ourselves. And who we are is always this vastness and this beauty and this love.
So, you know, talking about George and how the Lama talked about who is George.
Mm-hmm.
So my sense after him telling this amazing story of who is George, is he the arm, is he the leg, is he the head, is he the heart, is he the guts, he's... foot? No, that's the foot of George. That's the arm of George. Who is George? And then you talk about the vastness of what is beyond. And that's like the, I think, Okay, I'm hoping I might be right in the Buddhist term, the Tibetan term, Allah, which is a sacred force, a sacred vibration. In the Lakota language, it would be Takushkanshka, which is sacred movement. It is that which is not totally physical, but makes up the physical, is part of making up the physical. I do want to investigate that more.
And that, I have to bring this up, this one other thing in before we go towards finishing here, but and that is, it can be scary, not when we start to move beyond our definitions. It can be scary not really knowing. If we suddenly take away, I am not this writer, or I am not whatever, the horse trainer, or whatever it is we're doing. So it's like, if we take those away, then oftentimes people start to have a fear, because that has defined them and it's made them feel safe.
Yeah.
So don't worry about who you are. You'll find who you are as you slowly become conscious of your definition of, what do you call it again, the, we started off with...
George?
No, not with defining ourselves. Defining ourselves.
One of the things that I like to do when, if I feel the need to define myself, I will say, where am I now? I am standing on the earth. My feet are on the earth. So it's bringing myself into the now. What am I doing now? I am breathing. I am standing on the earth. I am touching a plant. I am... So that to me helps me rather than define who I am. This is what I am, where I am right now and what I'm doing.
And who we are, as you said, it is so incredibly vast that it can be scary initially when we touch it. And
but oh, how wonderful it is.
Yes, it is. And and once you've touched it and you've just do it a little bit, again, don't try to move away from the fear, just say that we bring consciousness to it. That as you touch it more and more, and then it becomes this amazing energy, and you realize who I really am is none of the definitions.
And that's what I always mean by when you touch that aspect, I become a softness. That's all, the only way I can describe it is there is a softness about everything. It's wonderful.
Yes, we all are.
Yeah, and we are talking on Earth Tribe Radio, which is your home on planet Earth.